Leviticus 25 in verse number 10, the Bible says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, just outside of Boone, North Carolina. And this is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We hope you will stay with us for the next half hour or so. Noah has another appointment today, so he is in a hurry to get out of here. He won't be here at the end, so I'm going to take care of his part today of welcoming our listeners. And we do appreciate our listeners right here. We have many regular listeners. I'm always amazed when we go out in the county and meet different people, how many people say they listen in on a regular basis on AM 1450 WATA in Boone. And then that is always live every Tuesday. Then on Saturdays, we have a rebroadcast of our Tuesday broadcast. And we have that on WZAP 690 AM in Bristol, Virginia, Tennessee, the tri-state area right there, Tri-Cities area. And then we are on KPGT, and that stands for Proclaiming God's Truth, 89.1 FM, The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. We appreciate our missionary, Brother Lamar Whittemore. What a blessing he is. And we appreciate the ministry the church has there. That is a church ministry. And so what a blessing that a church has a radio station. And so we appreciate the opportunity to be there on Saturdays as well. And today, what I want to do, I want to bring our attention to the subject of the history of freedom or liberty, freedom and liberty, in North Carolina. That's what we're going to be talking about today, the history of freedom in North Carolina. Before I get into that, I do want to take a moment and invite you, if you do not have a church home, or if you are visiting in the high country here near Boone, North Carolina, I'd like to invite you to come and visit with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, and that is just a few miles outside of Boone on Highway 105 South. You take Baird's Creek, and we're 1 mile up Baird's Creek, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And so we'd love for you to come and visit with us in any or all of our services. We have several visitors throughout the year. Last Sunday, we had some visitors from out of town. And actually, we had a few visitors from out of town that were vacationing in the area. And so they came and worshiped with us on Sunday morning. We always appreciate that and enjoy that as well. But like I've already said, I want to talk today or preach today, teach today, however it comes out, on the subject of history, the history of freedom in North Carolina. This last January, I had the opportunity to take a field trip to Liberty, North Carolina, to visit the historic Sandy Creek Baptist Church. And that's down in Randolph County, North Carolina, sort of between Winston-Salem and Greensboro, right along in that area. And so we got to go down there, had a wonderful time. I took a class on church history, and the Sandy Creek Meeting House, it's just a little old, it's out in the middle of the country, and it's just a log church house. And we had class in there. It was cold in the morning, and we burn up in the afternoon. But the Sandy Creek Meeting House is the oldest building in Randolph County. It was built when John Adams was the president of the United States. So it's been there a long time. And we had a wonderful time there. A lot of preachers taking that class. And we just got to sing and have a fellowship together. It was just a wonderful time. But it was a life-changing experience just to get to go back, go somewhere that can literally be traced back to the reason why there are so many Baptist churches in North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina, Georgia, and Tennessee. It can be traced back to the Sandy Creek Baptist Church. That is where the Lord directed a Mr. Shubal Stearns to begin his ministry in 1755 in North Carolina. Shubal Stearns was a Baptist preacher that was saved under the ministry of George Whitfield. I have told many times about the importance of the ministry of George Whitfield in America and the Great Awakening. You hear about Jonathan Edwards and his famous message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And then at that same time, the most well-known person in America was a preacher by the name of George Whitefield, literally from Georgia to Massachusetts. In all of the colonies, the name of George Whitefield was known. He was a preacher, and everywhere he went, there were great revivals, and people turned to the Lord. And Mr. Shubal Stearns was saved under the ministry of George Whitefield. The Lord led him to come into North Carolina in 1755 and begin a work at Sandy Creek, and that is in Liberty, North Carolina. But that was, at that time, a crossroads in North Carolina, the wagon trail. There was a north-south trail, and there was an east-to-west wagon trail road. Certainly were no interstates at that time, but it was a crossroads. And from that crossroads, God did a great work and literally populated the South with Baptist people and Baptist churches. And that is the primary reason why there are so many, why the Bible Belt is the Bible Belt, and why there are so many churches. But if you trace the history of it, you'll find Baptist churches in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Georgia. It literally began at that time in North Carolina. And that is very fitting that the town we went to, the place, it's actually not a town, or at least I didn't see a town the way we went in, and the church is just out in the middle of the countryside. If there is a town, it's a very small one, but it's very fitting that that place is called Liberty, North Carolina. And I've mentioned many times how it was the Baptist people who fought so hard for religious freedom in America, and that resulted in our First Amendment, our Bill of Rights. It was the Baptist people who had been persecuted before that by the state churches, the different colonies. They all had state churches except the colony of Rhode Island. And in those state churches, whether they were Puritans, Anglicans, Presbyterians, they persecuted the Baptist people, or the independent churches, the independent congregations, the ones that were not part of the state church. And they persecuted them. They would tax them. They would jail them. They would confiscate their land. So the Baptist people, the Quakers, the Moravians in North Carolina were principal movers behind, and especially the Baptist people, the desire for there to be religious freedom in America. No matter what, how you worship God, you would not be persecuted by the state for that. And so we can thank the Baptist people for our First Amendment in the Bill of Rights, that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting religion. And when I study the history of America, and especially North Carolina, and the impact of the Great Awakening upon our country and our struggle for freedom, it reminds me of what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Had it not been for the Great Awakening, the revivals in the South under the direction or beginning of the ministry of Shubal Stearns, I do not believe there would have ever been an American Revolution. We would not know America today as we know it had it not been for those great revivals and the great stirring of the Lord. It literally unified the people from the North into the South, and it brought them together as nothing else can. No religious party can bring, or no political party can bring people together. It tends to just divide people. But now the Spirit of the Lord and that revival, it brought people together as nothing else could. No leader could have done that. No political party could have done that. No civic organization could have done that. But now the Spirit of the Lord moving through our land in a great, mighty revival, it turned people's hearts, people's minds to the Bible. And it turned their souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And they tasted something, they received something they were not used to, and that was religious freedom, freedom of their soul, freedom of their spirit, and it caused them to desire to have freedom. And it literally played a major part in the American Revolution. Now, the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This is one of the reasons why you find so much scripture, preaching, reference to God in the early years of our country. Well, I come on the radio every week and I say Leviticus 25:10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That verse of scripture is inscribed upon the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That verse of scripture, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Now I have a piece of North Carolina history with me today, and I've already been asking some people before I came to the radio broadcast. I knew what I was going to be talking about today, and so I've been asking the question different people. Very few have got it right, have known the answer to this question. But I have an old license plate with me, an old North Carolina license plate from 1975. And I wonder today how many of our listeners can remember what was on our license plates before First in Flight. Now, those of you here in North Carolina, you know what's on our license plate. There's a hologram or a picture in the background of the plane that Orville and Wilbur Wright first flew down on the coast of North Carolina. And so that is right now what is on our license plate. But there was something before that. There was something before First in Flight. And I wonder how many of our listeners, I wish there's some way to see a show of hands or something. But I wonder how many of our listeners can remember what was on our license plates before First in Flight. Well, I'll give you a moment just to think about it. Some of you might remember. Many of our listeners, especially our younger listeners, probably will not know what was on the North Carolina license plate before First in Flight. But here's what it used to say on the license plate in North Carolina. It used to say, First in Freedom. And I have one of those with me in the studio today. First in Freedom. And actually, I had forgotten about that. And I read a newspaper article that made a reference to that. And I thought, you know what? I remember that. It did used to say, First in Freedom. The First in Freedom slogan was issued in the 70s. I'm not exactly sure what years. I want to say beginning about 1974. And then I don't know how many years after that. But the reason that it was issued to begin with was in order to celebrate the nation's bicentennial. Now, I remember that when I was a little boy, and in 1976, that would have been our nation's bicentennial, our 200-year celebration, 1776 to 1976. And so I remember that as a little boy, and I would have been only 5, 6, 7 years old, but I remember that being a big deal. You can still find quarters today, the bicentennial quarter that has the dates on it, 1776 to 1976. That was our bicentennial, our 200-year anniversary. And so it's a big deal. And North Carolina, in order to celebrate and show our part in the bicentennial, they issued the license plate, First in Freedom. Now, there are several reasons why North Carolina lays claim to the slogan, First in Freedom. And if I was given a title to the radio broadcast, that's what I would call it today, First in Freedom. But there are reasons why. Now, that's a pretty good claim. Of all the colonies, that there would be one, North Carolina, that would lay claim to the slogan, First in Freedom. There are actually several reasons why North Carolina lays claim to that slogan, that we could call ourselves or claim for ourselves First in Freedom. Now, before the American Revolutionary War, there was another war, a short war that took place in North Carolina. And if you study your history books, it is called the War of the Regulators. The War of the Regulators led up to and definitely had an impact upon the American Revolutionary War. Now, this all came to a head in the year 1768. So that's several years before the beginning of the American Revolutionary War. But historically, the War of the Regulators, there is a historian, Mr. George Washington Paschal, and he is right here from in North Carolina. I'm sure he's deceased now. But historian George Washington Paschal, he said the preaching of Stearns, what I've just been talking about, Shoeball Stearns, the preaching of Stearns and his fellow laborers quickened by the spirit of democracy among their hearers and emboldened them to make that resistance to oppression which resulted in the regulator movement. The Baptists were key persons in the War of the Regulators. Now, Mr. George Washington Paschal, he wrote The History of the North Carolina Baptist. It was published in 1930, and he was a professor at Wake Forest College right down here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And so he's a lot closer to that time period than we are today. And his chapter in The History of the North Carolina Baptist, the chapter about the regulator movement, is entitled The War Against the Baptists. The War Against the Baptists and the Regulator Movement. And that's not, I don't have time to really get into it today like I would like to, but you can read about this and study about this. The Regulator Movement was a rebellion against Governor Tryon, the tyrant. You know, there's Tryon, North Carolina. That's named after the then governor of North Carolina. I believe if I lived in Tryon, though, knowing what I know now, I would make a petition to get the name changed. He was a tyrant, and the Baptist people especially were chafed over several what they called taxation without representation. They had to pay taxes in order to get married. They could only be married and it be recognized by someone out of the official recognized church, the Church of England. They had to pay taxes to support Church of England ministers who they did not agree with. And they could only be the only education instructors that were recognized had to be approved by the Church of England. So this chafed the Baptist people. And one of the things that broke the camel's back, you might say, Governor Tryon, the tyrant, he was imposing a tax upon the Baptist people to build him a big mansion, and they rebelled on that. And then he started confiscating the Baptist people's horses, crops, lands, when they wouldn't pay the tax to support the Church of England ministers. So there was actually a war, and Governor Tryon, his intention was to drive the Baptist people out of the land. And so that preceded the American Revolutionary War, the War of the Regulators. And then during the American Revolutionary War, there was a key battle against the British that the militia were involved in, and it's known as the Battle of King's Mountain. Maybe you've heard in history about the Over the Mountain men. And the militia came from Watauga, the Watauga settlement, not Watauga County, but the Watauga settlement. And they came from over near Johnson County, Tennessee, and they came over the mountain, came right through Roan Mountain and went down into King's Mountain. And there was a battle there that the British suffered a terrible defeat at, and these mountain men came, and they fought in that battle. I would recommend anybody going in right here in Boone, North Carolina. They have Horn in the West. It tells some of that story about what happened in these battles, and it is very interesting. But the First in Freedom slogan, most people relate that. There are two dates on the North Carolina state flag. And, you know, a lot of people, they probably see the North Carolina state flag probably don't even know what those dates represent, but you need to know your history. I believe one of the reasons why we're in such a precarious position of losing our freedom in this day and time, we don't know our history. We don't know why we are what we are, or what we ought to be, I guess would be a better way to put it. But on our North Carolina state flag, there are two dates. One is May the 20th, 1775, and that is the date of the what is called the Mecklenburg Declaration. The Mecklenburg Declaration was just before the Declaration of Independence, and it was sort of a early declaration of independence from North Carolina, saying we believe there ought to be a declaration of independence. And then the date on the bottom of that is April the 12th, 1776, and that refers to what is known as the Halifax Resolves. Now, the Halifax Resolves, I'm going to read to you just a little bit about that. From there's a website called ncpedia.org. It's a very good website, and it's about the history of North Carolina. And the from that website, I printed off a copy of the Halifax Resolves, but it says a little bit about that. It said this was the first official action by a colony calling for independence. The 83 delegates present in Halifax at the 4th Provincial Congress unanimously adopted the Halifax Resolves, which read as follows. I'm going to read just a small portion of this, just give you a little bit of the background of it, or just so you can hear some of what it said. It said, the select committee, taking into consideration the usurpations and violences attempted and committed by the King and Parliament of Britain against America, and the further measures to be taken for frustrating the same and for the better defense of this province, reported as follows, to wit. And if you've ever read the Declaration of Independence, there's a lot of the same language in these two documents. It said, it appears to your committee that pursuant to the plan concerted by the British Ministry for subjugating America, the King and Parliament of Great Britain have usurped a power over the persons and properties of the people, unlimited and uncontrolled, and disregarding their humble petitions for peace, liberty, and safety, have made divers legislative acts denouncing war, famine, and every species of calamity, daily employed in destroying the people and committing the most horrid devastations on the country. And what they were talking about was the government of Great Britain had just went crazy. They'd gotten out of control, and something had to be done. They went on down the end. They said, resolved that the delegates for this colony and the Continental Congress be empowered to concur with other delegates of the other colonies in declaring independency. And so this being the first colony and the first resolve, that's where they get the slogan and claim the title, First in Freedom. It says about this, the Halifax Resolves were important, not only because they were the first official action calling for independence, but also because they were not unilateral recommendations. They were instead recommendations directed to all the colonies and their delegates assembled at the Continental Congress in Philadelphia. So they encouraged all the colonies to do the same thing. So North Carolinians have been leaders in freedom from the very beginning. I want to read to you from a book, just a paragraph or so. This book is A History of Baptists, Volume 2, by John T. Christian. And I want to read what he said, and he's actually quoting from other historians, about the people who first inhabited North Carolina. I come across this a while back, and I just thought it was great. He said this. He said, here was a colony of men, says Bancroft, scattered among the forest, hermits with wives and children, resting on the bosom of nature, in perfect harmony with the wilderness of their gentle clime. The planters of Albemarle were more led to the choice of their residence from a hatred of restraint. Are there any who doubt man's capacity for self-government? Let them study the history of North Carolina. Its inhabitants were restless and turbulent in their imperfect submission to a government imported from abroad. The administration of the colony was firm and tranquil when they were left to take care of themselves. Any government but one of their own institution was oppressive. North Carolina was settled by the freest of the free. The settlers were gentle in their tempers, of serene minds, enemies of violence and bloodshed. Not all the successive revolutions had kindled vindictive passions. Freedom, entire freedom, was enjoyed without anxiety as without guarantees. The charities of life were scattered at their feet like the flowers of their meadows. That was from Bancroft, History of the United States, Volume 2, about the first settlers in North Carolina. Then he quotes Wheeler, which is Historical Sketches of North Carolina, Volume 1, page 30. This was printed in 1851, who said, "No freer country was ever organized by man. Freedom of conscience, exemption from taxation, except by their own consent, gratuities in land to every immigrant, and other wholesome regulations claimed the prompt legislative action of the infant colony. These simple laws suited a simple people who were as free as the air of their mountains, and when oppressed were as rough as the billows of the oceans." I thought that was very interesting, those sketches of the original inhabitants of the colony of North Carolina. My question today is, what happened to us? What happened to the freest of the free? I believe I know at least in part what has happened to our state and our nation, because if it is true that the blazing fiery revivals of the early 1700s fanned the flame of freedom, and it did, then as the flame has died, so has our desire for freedom. We live in a day and a time where the wussification of the church is almost complete. Christians have lost their salt, their light, their flame, their desire, their revival. And as goes the flame of revival, so goes the desire and even the conscience necessity of freedom. And that is where we are today. We in North Carolina, Stokes County, Rowan County, they're waiting on the government to tell them if they can pray or not. I hope that there is still some fiery North Carolinians there that will take a stand. I read in the newspaper that one of those gentlemen said they would go to jail over this. I hope they have the backbone to back that up, because they might have to. Maybe that's what it'll take in North Carolina and in America for people to see how dangerous, how close we are to losing our religious freedoms. If there's any hope for our nation, and be not deceived today, our nation is in trouble. If you don't see that, recognize that, you're either in denial or delusion. But if there's any hope for our country, our states, our churches, it must come from the Christians. It will not come from the politicians, the school system. It will not come from the state colleges. There's no hope in none of that. In the 1700s in America, they had in this order, they had a revival, and then they had a revolution. They went from oppression to freedom. But if we failed to keep that today, and I believe that we have, and we're very close to losing the freedoms that we have. If we lose our freedoms in America, we will never, ever get them back. I see our time is quickly coming gone today, and I'm going to give the contact information here in just a moment. But I pray that God would stir us up in our desire to see why we are what we are. We came from a great heritage. If we don't recognize it and get back to it, I believe with all my heart we're going to lose it. God give us some people with a desire for freedom. Well, next week, be sure and tune in. We're going to have a special guest, Mr. Dan Stanley of the U.S. Journal. That is the best newspaper I believe, in America today. The U.S. Journal, I'm going to tell you more about that, and Dan Stanley is going to be with us to share more about it. But we are going to have him as a special guest next week, and we wanted to let you know about that. But I guess I need to give the contact information before we go off the air. This has been the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can call our church phone number at 828-963-4596, or you can go to our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's mountlebanonbc.org.